All right, so tonight we're studying Sefer Nachalat Avot, which I picked up this year in my Abarbanel binge. This is the version that I have. It's published by Rav Moshe Tzuriel. He's a rabbi who lives in Bnei Brak. I believe he teaches in a number of religious Zionist yeshivas. And the Sefer Nachalat Avot is written by Don Yitzchak Abarbanel. 13th century, 14th century Rishon, who I don't think needs any introduction, but I've been studying his parish on Chumash. I picked up his Agudah this year, and now we're studying the Pirkei Avot, which is not a commonly studied Pirkei Avot. In fact, interestingly enough, I couldn't find it in the Bar-Ilan Responsa Project at all. It doesn't have it. Eventually, I did find that HebrewBooks.org has it, and nicely enough, Sefaria has it. So I was able to copy paste some of the text from there. And the reason why I'm bringing this up at all is because as I was studying Pirkei Avot, starting from basically from Pesach, I noticed that Abarbanel has a very interesting take, at least in the first parak, and I think it's going to continue, of how to read, the proper way to read Pirkei Avot, which is, I think, significantly different from the way that we normally do and the way that most of the Mefarshim typically read the Pirkei Avot. And I'll just say it right here at the beginning. Normally, when we read Pirkei Avot, we kind of take each Mishnah on its own. Each Mishnah is a distinct Mishnah. If anything, we'll say, okay, you know what? If we want some context for the Mishnah, what interests us is who said it. And then we look into that person's life and try to find some kind of connection between that person's life and the way they led it and connect that to the Ma'amar in the Mishnah. So the Rabbanel accepts that, but he takes it one step further. And he's interested in looking at a few additional factors, including number one, that person's place in history. In other words, when that person was saying it and why they were saying that particular thing at that particular time. And number two, and this I think is really the where the Abarbanel takes parts ways with everybody else, is that each subsequent Mishnah in Pirkei Avot takes into account and there's a commentary on the previous Mishnayot. And that's interesting. In other words, we don't have just every single person saying what they think, but rather it's actually every single person saying what they think in light of what everybody else said. Sometimes it's actually in agreement, and sometimes it's even in disagreement or at least an adjustment. Okay, so we'll start with the first Mishnah.
Well, how does it work in terms of breaking out the parakim?
Like I said, I'm only going to concentrate tonight on actually the first half to three quarters of the first parak. I've started the second parak, and so far, so good. So far, he continues to do what he did in the first parak, but I can't speak for the rest of it. So if we take a look at the first Mishnah, of course, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai, Sarah Yoshua, Yoshua So you have two things going on in this first Mishnah. The first thing is that there is this chain of Masorah, which starts with Moshe at Sinai and ends, at least over here, with the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, who, just to remind us, includes Zechariah, Malachi, and Daniel, and Mordechai, and Ezra, and Nehemiah, and others. Who made it back to the back there to Israel during this time, the Second Temple period? It's a combination of Chachamim and Nevi'im, pretty much, and they bring us into the beginning of the Second Temple period, and so that's the transmission. It includes all of Tanakh right up to the Second Beit HaMikdash, and then they get to say something. So what do they say? They say three things. They say number one, Ebum Metunim Badin. Which can be loosely translated as be patient or be careful when you are judging. Number two, Hamidu Tilmidim Harbe, appoint many students. And number three, make a fence around the Torah. So the first one, could be seen as talking about making sure to get the din right. That's why you should be patient. The second one says, well, we should have a lot of students. That's a good idea. It's a good idea to have a lot of students. And the third says, we have to make sure that people stay far away from sin. Now, looked at on its own, why do you think that Sheikh Nasrallah Abdullah said this? Well, why are these the three things? Why is this the first piece of advice in Pirkei Avot? What would you expect someone to say?
Is there a history that this was not happening before?
Could be. I think most people, if they wanted to give a Dvar Torah on this Mishnah, they would dispense with all the history. They would simply try to explain why it's important to be Matun Badin, why it's important to do Hamidu Tamidim Harbe, and why it's important to Asusiag L'Torah. And you just kind of, right, you maybe tell a few stories, maybe tie it into Tanakh somehow or into some kind of contemporary event. So the Barbanel says, no, we have to be much more careful than that. And he says, he starts, by the way, by wondering why it says Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. What should it have said?
Me'ashem.
Me'ashem, right? Moshe Kibel Torah Me'ashem. What's this Misinai business? So everybody and their grandfather has a pshat in this. And that's fine. That's good.
Or Al Sinai.
Or Har Sinai, right? Or maybe Bisinai. No?
Yeah.
Or Bisinai. Moshe Kibel Torah Bisinai, right? What's Misinai? Yeah. It sounds like he got it from the Har, which is very strange. So the Barbanel says, yeah, it's strange, but it's true. Strange, but true. Why? So he says, Hachana shu'asta shlimut ha-gadol ahuhi, Sinai ha-har chemer alehim l'shivto, shemisibat hitbodeduto shama zacha l'kol zeh. So he says, we have to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu's staying on Har Sinai wasn't just stama place. Wasn't just a nice mountain, a good place to sit, and a nice place to get the Torah because it had to be accepted somewhere. But no, his stay at Har Sinai was transformative. The place where he was important, and the experience that he had there was also important. He mentions over here, actually, V'gam yirmoz bo'omro v'heyeh sham. I don't know if anybody remembers, but I think I gave a drasha, or at least a Dvar Torah about this. The Malbim makes this point. Hashem says, go up to the mountain, v'heyeh sham. Possibly, the two most superfluous words in the entire Torah. V'heyeh sham. Go up to the mountain and be there. What do you mean go up to the mountain and be there? Where else are you going to be? What does that mean? But the Abarbanel says, and I think that the Malbim gets it from the Abarbanel, sheyikabel shama ha-havaya acheret. That you should go there and be fundamentally changed by your stay over there. Okay? I kind of just wanted to cover that at the beginning because I think it's important that basically Moshe getting the Torah at Sinai wasn't just about receiving the Torah, but it was about the experience that he had while studying and being alone, mitboded, with Hashem. Bidud being an important idea these days. Okay, now. Let's actually jump forward because I want to spend the time on the right things. Ha'omnam. Mi amar shloshet hadvarim ha'ele? So it's interesting. The Rabbanan says, who said these three things? That's a silly question, right? It says who said them. Katav Rashi, sheshloshet ha'musarim ha'ele, ayu regilam anshei knas ha'gdol ha'lamdam, kilo ayu margala b'pumayhu. This is what we all learned when we were kids, that this is what Pirkei Avot is about. This was their mantra. They used to say these things because this was what was important to them. Okay? Anchiknas Agdola, this is what they believed in, this is what they stood for. That's what Rashi says. Ve'ev shalom, arki al piyad v'ayim ha'ele nikru'uhem anchiknas Agdola. V'fish ha'yu v'tunim b'dina. V'hem midu talmidim harbe v'knes yashalem. V'asu si'agim v'takanot v'shmirat ha'Torah. Maybe this is why they were called the anchiknas Agdola, because this is the values that they espoused and the actions that they took. Lo shenomar sh'ayah zeh ha'mamar t'chilat ha'masech. V'shim ken ha'ya ra'ui sh'omar rishona sh'olam omer al adin. Okay. That's Rashi. Rashi says, Anshek Nesar Gdola said these three things because this is what they represented. This is what they stood for. Look what the Abarbanel says. Hayoter nachon veini shomro vehem ramu shosha dvarim eno chozer l'Anshek Nesar Gdola aval l'neviim asher zachar. Ask 99 people on the street. 99 people will tell you that the lines Abu Mutunim Vadin, Vamida Tamid Harbe, Vasus Yagla Torah were said by the Anshek Nesar Gdola. And one person, apparently, will tell you that it was actually said by whom?
The Nevi'im.
By the Nevi'im, right? Now, to be fair, Heim Amru is vague. There's a scope issue. Heim Amru could mean any of the people in the previous sentence. Any of these people could have said it. It's not clear. Just that the last person here, the last people, is the Anshek Nesar HaGdola, but that doesn't mean that they said it. Heim Amru just means that they said it. And the Rabbana wants to say that the Hamamru refers to the Nevi'im. Now, why would the Nevi'im say this? When the Nevi'im gave over the Perush of the Torah to the Anshei Knesset Gedola, they said, etc., etc., etc. Why? In safek sheya sichlam besvaratam vedatam vahavanat haTorah veidiata yoter bahir vezach midat hachamim shelo yinevim. It's for sure that the Nevi'im that are referred to in this Mishnah had wisdom and a divine connection that the ones who were coming after them simply didn't have, and that was acknowledged and that was known, that there was going to be an actual yiridat hadorot at this point. The soul of a Navi is wider and broader and can accept Hashem much more readily than a regular person. And also, keep in mind, historically speaking, simply from a time basis, that people who come after the Nevi'im are further away from Har Sinai. And this Mishnah, if anything, emphasizes the value of the Har Sinai experience. Okay, so Ubimneza, Chagai Zachariah Malachi, Vigam Yecheskel, Ubaruch Benaria, Shemi Beitinan, Shel Hanavim, Kashera Uviad Usha Bimotam, Tistaleka Nebu Am Israel, Tishaera Kabbalah, the Chachamim, the Fisrotayim, when they saw that they were passing away and there was going to be a new generation now of Chachamim on a lower level. Havu Matunim Badin was the advice that the Nevi'im were giving to Anshei Knesset Gedola, because the Nevi'im said, what we can achieve and figure out in an hour is going to take you 10 hours. So you have to be patient. You have to work a little bit harder than we did. V'gam ken. You're not going to have the kind of hekef, the broadness in each one of you that we did. So you need to create much a greater amount of specialists, people who are going to be good at one specific thing. And the only way to do that is to have many, 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 many talmidim. You need to expand the yeshiva. And finally, even after you do all of that, after you're careful and you establish great yeshivot to make many talmidim, even after all that, you're still going to get things wrong. So you have to put in place safeguards to make sure that you stay far away from avira. Okay? So this is phase one. What did Rabbi Benel just do? He completely disagreed with Rashi. Rashi said that this is the words of the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, because this is what the Anshei Knesset Hagdola stood for. And in fact, Rabbi Benel says, no, this is the advice that Nevi'im gave to the Anshei Knesset Hagdola. And yes, it represents a fundamental change in the way that Klal Yisrael apparently behaved, and the way that they went about creating Torah leaders and Torah scholars, but it was at the advice of the previous generation. Okay? Anybody have a criticism of that, Rabbi Benel? Or did anybody ever hear anything like that before?
I'd never
heard anything like that before, yeah. Before I read that.
But where's the evidence, Danny?
The evidence is to come, meaning the consistency with which he explains everything. But
contextually, it's a little strange if you say Nevi'im Isaruha L'Anshei Knesset Hagadola Heim Amru. You've got a whole line of people. You have Moshe, Yehoshua, Tzkenim, Nevi'im, Anshei Knesset Hagadola, and then Heim Amru.
So in about
actually, either you're going
seconds,
to say all of them said it, or it's the last one.
So in about 2 seconds, we'll see why the Rabbi Benel, his point should be well taken and why there is textual evidence to support it. All we have to do, as Pirkei Avot says, is hafochba de kulaba, right? Which, as one of my Rebbeim used to say, turn the page, it's all there. So if you turn the page to the next Mishnah, who is the author of the next Mishnah? Shimon HaTzadik. Right. Now, who is Shimon HaTzadik?
He was a Kohen Gadol, wasn't he?
Yeah. And he, but what does the Mishnah say about him? Hayami Shiarei Knesset Hagdola. Wait a second. And who I am, Al Shoshad Rem Ma'olam Amen, Al Torah, Al Adav, Al Gmit Chasadim. Wait, if the previous Mishnah was the saying, right, the mantra of the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, then why is it that Shimon HaTzadik, who was in the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, has a different saying? Now, obviously, anybody else reading this Mishnah, Rashi trying to explain things, so he'll say, yeah, this is Anshei Knesset Hagdola at the beginning, this is the last of the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, fine, okay. But then Rabbanel's point is, no, this is the mantra of the Anshei Knesset Hagdola. This is what they had to say about the world, what Shimon HaTzadik has to say.
You could say they're not exclusive, you know. So no. they did say what they said in the first Mishnah, and then he did say what he said. That these are three different things.
Yeah, I don't think that one of them is necessarily right and one necessarily wrong, for sure. But I think that Rabbanu's point is well taken, that he says, well, now we're hearing what the Anshei Knesset Hagdola have to say, because Shimon HaTzadik is saying it. And what's Shimon HaTzadik saying? So he says, for example, and the Rabbanu, one of the things that's very enjoyable about reading the Rabbanel is, you know, nowadays I can give a Dvar Torah and I can say, and I'm not at all equating, but I can say, you know, Rav Moshe Feinstein used to say this, and, you know, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch used to say this, and Rav Asher Weiss says this. And it's cool because, you know, I'm talking about people who lived relatively close to my lifetime, right? You know, Rav Moshe is, I guess, kind of an exception, but if I said, like, Rav Asher Weiss says this, Rav Schachter says that, and Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon says this. So it's cool because, you know, these are people who live right now. I'm quoting contemporary Gdolim, right? So the Rabbanel is quoting Rabbeinu Yonah. He's quoting, okay, Rashi is well before him, but Rabbeinu Yonah is pretty contemporaneous, or, you know, relatively close in time to the Rabbanel, and yet he's quoting them. So you have Rishonim quoting Rishonim, which is cool, I think. Just, you can imagine, like, the ferment at the time. Either way, Rabbeinu Yonah, who wrote a major commentary on Pirkei Avot, you know, everybody quotes the Rabbeinu Yonah Pirkei Avot. So how does he explain this? So he says this this line of Shimon HaTzadik, Al Torah Al Avodah Al Gmilut Chasadim. So Rabbeinu Yonah says Shabishvil Shoshad Vayim Nivra Haolam Bishvil Torah, and he quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, from Yirmiyahu, Iglobrit Yomam Balayla V'chein Hashar. He quotes pasukim that support this idea that it's based on Torah Avodah and Gmilut Chasadim. And some say that these are actually connected to the ones that come before. In other words, that each one is related. The Torah is related to Amidu Tamidim Harbe. The Avodah is related to Asusiag LaTorah, which is ritualistic. And Gemilut Chasadim is related to Habumutim Madim. Okay, very nice. The Abba Rabbanel says, he didn't mince words, the Abba Rabbanel. He was definitely fearless. I don't think that they were careful when they read the Mishnah. If I'm right that the previous Mishnah was about the Nevi'im more than it was about the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, then over here, Ra'ui Lefaresh, Sheshimon HaTzadik, Lefi Shehaya Mishiyarei Knesset Hagdola, he was of the last ones. What's Shimon HaTzadik going to be doing over here if we follow the line? What's he trying to do? If the Nevi'im were trying to help the Anshei Knesset Hagdola transition into a new world, what's Shimon HaTzadik, who's Mishiyarei Knesset Hagdola, going to be trying to do?
Taking their advice and applying it. You know,
I think actually, Mark, he's doing the same thing the Nevi'im do.
Next generation.
Exactly. Thank you, Ravit. He is going to try to teach the next generation how to transition for them, right? So he says, the fish I am Eshara Knesset Gdora, Rotsa Lomar Miacharonim Shebahem, Asa Gam Ken Kacha, Shetzafa Beruchov V'Chachmato Shechachmei Yisrael Hayu Atidin Lavo Begalut. Shimon HaTzadik foresees the Galut, right? So he's at the end of that period. U'malcha V'sarea B'goyim in Torah. Gam tibatel avodat beit hamikdash. Now, it didn't happen right after Shimon HaTzadik passed away. Things did start going down, but he's kind of taking the long view. He knows where this is headed. He can see this is not going to last. So he's saying, guys, you've got to prepare for a time when there's no beit hamikdash anymore, which is going to be a fundamental change. We've had it already, but it's going to be again. Tafa gamken inyan ha-pritzim u-poshe Yisrael shiu bagalut. He saw that things were going to change and there were going to be a lot of avaryanim. V'lachei, hishtadel haziram al kol zeh betito lemud na'e u-musar hechrichi l'chachmi ha-mishnah ha-ba'im acharav. He is trying to prepare the next generation. So what does he say? So he says, you have to concentrate on Torah, Avodah Gmilut Chasadim. Kilo Amar, Hizaru B'Shmirat HaTorah, Pentavo Lidei Minut V'Apikorsut U'Kfirat Kabbalat HaTorah Sheba'al Peh. Concentrate on the transmission, the proper transition of Torah. Hizaru B'Avodat Beit HaMikdash, Penyavo Ha'Ohivim V'Vetua. He says, you know, it's going to end, but try to hold on to it for as long as you possibly can. And Hizaru B'Gmilat Chasadim, Pen Yakumu HaPritzim V'Yargu Ish B'Re'u B'Makat Cher V'Herg V'Avdan. These were the three areas where we failed in Bayit Sheni. You think about it, right? The last one's the easiest, the Gmilut Chasadim, in terms of Sinat Chinam, right? But even before that, there's another Gemara in Yuma, in Gittin, I believe, that says Ama Avda Aretz Ashalo Berchu BaTorah Tchila, that they didn't take Torah seriously. Okay, so there's that as well, right? And then there's Etzem, Avodat Beit HaMikdash. We lost the Beit HaMikdash because we weren't careful with it. The Kohanim Gedolim in the second Beit HaMikdash, there were something like 300 Kohanim Gedolim in a period of, you know, a few hundred years because they kept dying because they kept doing the wrong things. It was an office to be bought and sold for honor. And so that's who Shimon HaTzadik was trying to talk to. He was trying to say, be careful about these things. Obviously, they didn't take the advice, or they did, but it didn't work out. He was trying to tell them. And this is what I think is interesting. He says, Lo nachadato ima ma'amar haknesia. This, I think, is really interesting. And it sets the tone. He says, he didn't think that what the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, what the Nevi'im and the Anshei Knesset had said was enough. Right? He thinks that they need to take it further. The message that was transmitted to the previous generation was not good enough or not severe or strong enough for the new generation. And he says the specific reasons. He says, look, Hem iziru al ha-Torah b'mtinut adin, ribuya tamidim. V'lo iziru al dvarim acharim nechalem v'achrechim b'shleimut ha-Torah. They concentrated only on the carefulness of the din and the expansion of Talmidim. But there were other things that they didn't concentrate on. For example, Hagaya batamid, to constantly be involved in it. V'lachin amar sheholam omer al ha-Torah. Rotzel omar al ha-Hagaya b'hayyun batamid. Now, obviously, the Abravanel here is taking liberties because the sentence only says Al HaTorah, so we don't know what he meant by Al HaTorah. The Rabbanel says he means that when you envision the world resting on Torah, then it inspires you to feel like you really need to be in constant grappling with it. You need to always be dealing with it. Gam Rishonim B'Mesha Ben Adam L'Akom Amru Bilvad V'Asus Yag LaTorah. They said, stay far away from Avirah. What did they not say anything about? Well, saying far away from Avirah only concentrates on 365 of the mitzvot. Yeah. Only on the mitzvot of Taseh. L'chein, ha-shalem azeh. His hira al-havodah, shehi al-mitzvot Taseh. He wanted to concentrate also on mitzvot Taseh. So you see what he's doing here? He's saying that Shimon HaTzadik was saying this, A, as advice for the coming generation, and B, as a reaction to the statement that they got from the Nevi'im. He didn't think they went far enough. He wanted to expand on it. Okay? Now, the next Mishnah. Antigonus Yishtzocho Kibel Mishim HaTzadik. So Antigonus Yishtzocho is a Talmud of Shimon HaTzadik, and he says, Al tiyu kavadim ha-misham shinat harav, amanat ha-kavapras, ele avu kavadim ha-misham shinat harav, shola amanat ha-kavapras, v'him ha-ra shamayim aleichem. Okay, so Antigonus Yishtzocho, he basically teaches his students that they have to do things for altruistic reasons, right? And not simply to accept reward. Now, that's actually how the Rambam reads this Mishnah. The Rambam says this Mishnah means you should not be thinking about any reward at all. Why? Because you should be doing Torah, you should do the Emet Bishvil Shehu Emet. That's what he writes at the end of his Hilchot Shuva as being the highest level. Emet Mivnei Shehu Emet. And over here as well, in the Mishnah, in his parish on this Mishnah, says that you're not supposed to be thinking about reward at all. Reward is just a side issue in the Torah. Certainly a reward in Olam HaZeh, which is really only to help you facilitate more performance of mitzvot. But even reward in Olam HaBa is not supposed to be your focus. It's inappropriate. It's not honorable. The Abravanel disagrees. Abravanel says, what are you talking about? First of all, he says, of course you're going to think about reward. Of course there's going to be a motivation. The mitzvot themselves and the performance of the mitzvot are not ends in and of themselves. They're meant to get you to a place in Olam HaBa. Okay, but then what does Antigonus Yishtocho mean? So he says, he gives two explanations. But before he gives the explanations, he says that Antigonus Yishtocho is trying to explain the idea of Avodah. How do I know? Because he says, Al tiyu kavadim. Right? Now, why is that important? Because according to the Abravanel, the next two Mishnayot, and possibly more, are really supposed to be an explanation of what? What are they trying to explain? David, what are they trying to explain? What came before? What Shimon HaTzadik said. He said, Al Torah, Al Avodah, Al Gemilat Chasadim. Now, what does he mean by that? So the next few Mishnayot are going to be explaining what he meant. So over here, Antigonus Yishtocho says, concentrate on Avodah and do it in a way that is not Alman al Kabbalah Pras. So what does that mean? So first of all, okay. The Rabbanel says, yeah,
quick question. What about this Vihi Morei Shamayim part? How does that fit in with the rest of the
Mishnah? So I'm not going to get into that. It's an interesting question. It's a good point. I can't remember exactly what the Rabbanel said on that, and I didn't put it down on the sheet, so I can't answer. But what we did put down over here is that Rabbanel tries to explain how could it be that you're going to do it shalom and not the kabbal pras, but you have to be thinking about the pras. So he gives two explanations. Number one, he says that you in fact are allowed to think about olam haba. You're only not supposed to think about olam hazeh. And he says it for a very practical reason. Not because there's anything wrong with thinking about Olam HaZeh, per se. But he says because if you do think about Olam HaZeh, what's going to happen? Ultimately, we all know that some people perform mitzvot and live wonderful, profitable, lucrative, enjoyable lives. And some people perform mitzvot and live lives of suffering and pain and tragedy. So if you're thinking about the pras, you may get a little bit frustrated. And vice versa, of course. People who don't perform mitzvot live very wonderful lives in this world. So it doesn't look fair. So it makes no sense to concentrate on getting a reward. But, of course, you're allowed to think about the schar in the next world. Antigone Yisrocho is simply telling people it's a bad idea to think about reward in this world because you'll be frustrated. That's his advice over here. Don't be frustrated. That's his first derech. His second derech is to say, no, you know what? The Rambam is onto something, but we have to set our sights a little bit lower. He says, how can you imagine somebody becoming an Eved Hashem and never thinking about the reward? He says, well, if you imagine somebody who was saved from slavery, eternal slavery, and is given life every day anew, and all kinds of wonderful things, then that person will simply serve his creator because he feels grateful. And he won't be thinking about all the things that he deserves for performing mitzvot. So he's saying that there's a paradigm shift that a person, when he does his avodah, should be thinking about the fact that he has to be grateful. And he shouldn't be thinking about what he deserves, right? It's a shift that a mature person undergoes when they stop thinking about what they can get and they start thinking about all that they've already gotten and how they have to pay it a little bit forward and be grateful. So those are two ways of seeing Antigonus Yishtocho, but in both ways, according to the Rabbanel, he's trying to explain the previous Mishnah of Shimon HaTzadik and trying to explain what he meant by Avodah. And then we get to the next Mishnah. Yosef ben Yoezer ish Sveda, and Yosef ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim kiblu mehem. Now, who's mehem? Because in the previous Mishnah, there was only one person, Antigonus ish Socho. So who's mehem?
Well, I guess it's the... If they weren't members of the Anshei Knesset and Hagadolah, then it would be from the Anshei Knesset and Hagadolah they would have received it.
Right, exactly, but they were after, right?
Yeah.
Or you might say they also received from the Nevi'im as the previous group did.
Well, they weren't actually part of the Anshei Knesset Hagadolah. The Nevi'im would have been way, way before, because Anshei Knesset, that Kufal, went for a little while. So he says, Shneim ba'u gam ken levayer divrei Shimon HaTzadik. He says, the two of them are trying to also explain Shimon HaTzadik. So they're in light of Shimon HaTzadik and Antigonus ish Socho. So he says, after Antigonus ish Socho explained Avodah, they're going to try to explain the other Amudim. So what do they say? So Yosef ben Yoezer says, Yehi beidcha beidvad ha-chachamim, behevei mitabek ba'far agleim, behevei shoteh betzama et divrayim. So who's he explaining? Which Amud is he explaining?
Ala Torah,
exactly. So, kibioti beito achsanit haTorah in suffix she is kevul muda, aval heitenem azeh shnitayim. So he's not only restating it, but he's also explaining it. He says, Shimon HaTzadik believed that you have to base the world on Torah. But he says, what's important? It's important to have a house that is filled with Torah scholars. That's the best way to do it. But he adjusts it. He modifies it because he's explaining Shimon HaTzadik, not only restating it. And he says, number one, you have to make sure shelo yitga'e ala chachamim bioto bala bayit. Look, they're coming into your house and they're your guests. So you might think that, okay, I'm the one in charge, right? So maybe I tell them what they can say and what they can't say. Or I tell them when they start and when they end, right? So he says, no. Yitavek ba'afar raglehem ba'achna'a v'shiflut. Kilu hem balei abayit. When they come into your house, you treat them like they're the balei abayit, and that you're the guest in your own house. And at Tanaya Sheni, I actually cut out some of what he said. It was really beautiful, so I tried to just give you the gist. Shelo yakutz da'ato beribuy haTorah. This is important. It says, don't become don't become unimpressed over time. Don't become used to it. That's it. Don't become used to it by the fact that they're constantly there, so that you don't really think that it's important or interesting or revolutionary anymore. Aval tamid yishtebet sama rabba divrei chachamim. Remain thirsty. Rotzalam Rashi Yishmadi Rayem Kol Yom B'Tavanim Retzet Kilu Hem Chadashim Etzlo. Right? V'Harevna Hashem Elokeinu Et Divrei Torahtecha. That, and so according to the Abarbanel, this is Yosef ben Yoezer's contribution in light of what Shimon HaTzadik said. This is how he explained the Amud of Torah, and how they need to transition into the next generation and make these important values for them. Then finally, Yosef ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim, this should be clear. Yehi beitcha patuch l'revacha, v'yu aniyim b'nei beitecha, v'al tavrasicha im ha'isha. Okay, this part's going to get fun. But what is he saying over here? I think it's pretty clear. We don't even have to look into that Rabbanel to figure out. Which Amud is he explaining? Clearly, k'milut chasadim, yehi beitcha patuch l'revacha, v'yu aniyim b'nei beitecha. Make sure that your house is open and that poor people find your house hospitable. So he says, obviously, levayer inyan gemilut chasadim shezachar Shimon HaTzadik b'inyan hatztaka. And he said, make sure that the poor people are not embarrassed in your house. Ka'adam ha'metzapel l'shulchan acher. Don't make them feel uncomfortable in your house. He says something very interesting. He says, aval yihiyu kebnei abayit she'ein ha'ben mitbayesh le'achol al shulchan aviv. Make them feel at home, like they're children in your house. And he says, it also includes something the Rambam says. Right? If you're going to hire people, make sure you hire poor Jews. They need jobs. Don't give it to the non-Jews. Give it to the Jews. They get first. Okay, now we get to the fun part. This is what everybody glosses over whenever they learn this Mishnah, right? Al tabasicha ima isha. You know, sometimes in the Mishnah it gets little words, right? How do we explain the end of this Mishnah? Al tabasicha ima isha. Bishto amru kavachomer beishet chavero. When they said al tabasicha ima isha, it's not even talking about other women. It's talking about your own wife. That's what it's talking about. And if it's talking about your wife, then kavachomer, don't talk to other women so much. Now, okay, before we look at the Rabbanel, throw it out there. What do you think this Mishnah is talking about? How would you explain?
How is it linked to Gemilut Chasadim?
So even let's forget the link to the Gemilut Chasadim, because you know it's hard. So first try to explain it on its own terms. Just, you know, what does it mean? On the face of it, it could be very simple. Who has the courage to jump in?
Focus on learning and tzedakah, and don't pull around or whatever.
Maybe it's good. A siag.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Good. So in other words, you know, you have a job to do, you have things to do, and don't get involved in conversations with women because that's going to distract. Good. Even your wife, that's also going to distract. Fine. Good. The Abravanel takes it I don't know what the right word is. He definitely takes it a step further and much more specific. And I was very surprised to see it. Now, look, every culture has the way that it works. I can pretty confidently say that the scene that he describes is no longer accurate in most of our cultures. And I suspect, based on my, you know, comparatively rudimentary knowledge of Gemara, according to what I've read, that at that time also, it also wasn't so prevalent. So maybe the Abravanel is describing the scene when he lived, or maybe not. Take it for what it's worth. But I think it's very interesting. Look what he says. He says, "L'mas samach lezev al tabasik tam ishahu." What does that have to do with anything? "L'fi shekfar yikre sheyavo bichlal ha'aniyim ba'aruchim b'beito." Nashim aniyot. He says, first of all, there are going to be women that come. V'lachein, he's hiru. Shelo yarbe sicha imahem pen yecham levavo mitoch sichatan v'yavo lidei zima. Okay, no, this is reasonable. He says, look, you're going to be the balabait. You're in a position of power. Actually, nowadays, contemporarily, we know that being in a position of power can actually be very dangerous in terms of these kinds of things. These women need you, and you may be tempted to take advantage. Okay, this is more general. I have to say, it's very general. He's saying, like Ravit was saying, that you need to stay focused. Fine. But now look what the Rabbanel says. אפשר לפרש עוד בו, שנשים בטבעם נוטות אל הכילות, ותראה עיניהן במתנות העניים והכנסת האורחים אשר זכה. Anybody know what כילות means? The opposite of generosity. To be miserly. He's saying that the women tend towards being miserly, and they don't want to give out gifts to the aniyim. Okay, now before we even go further, what comes to my mind is a Beferish Gemara in Ketubot that talks about how women benefit much more from chesed because they do chesed from home. They end up giving out much more tzedakah. They end up baking people things because people come to their house and they can, while the husband is out learning or he's out doing something, he doesn't actually encounter the aniyim as much as the woman. So that's why I say, from my small experience, it seems to me, and definitely from my contemporary experience, women are definitely not more miserly than men. But perhaps this is something that the Abravanel was dealing with. But look what he does.
Not only Rav Dani, also Shai Agnon, for example, when on his novels like Sipur Pashut, Vayakov Lemishor, the wife there. is a kamtzanit, while the husband is more generous. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so there definitely are there definitely are schemes where this works. And look what he does. The truth is, in terms of Pshat in the Mishnah, it's very interesting. He says, "L'chein is hiur shabinyan atzdakah v'gmulut chasadim hazeh lo yar besicha im ha'isha." And which isha should you not be mar besicha with? Your own wife. Why? Amar ha'isha behe ha'idah le'moz ele yoshevet etzlo v'shochevet v'chiko v'tzolom ha'ar shelo yikach atzak ishto v'lo yaseh atzdakah v'achnasat ta'arachim b'rshuta. Because if you listen to your wife, then you won't do the tzedakah, because she'll tell you to calm down. She'll tell you that we need the chicken for our children. She'll tell you that we don't have enough money to throw around. Refrain from doing tzedakah, and that would be a tragedy, because if he listens to her, then he won't do the tzedakah. Okay, isha tistarer alav gam istarer. Okay, gotta put in the quotes. V'it batel midivrei Torah b'tzotehal v'safo yoresh kehinom. Liot batel midivrei Torah. I have to say, in terms of pshat in the Mishnah, the Barbanel is very compelling, because he's explaining how it all fits together. It all hangs together in terms of the Mishnah internally. I don't know whether the topology that he gives to women is really accurate in general or nowadays, but in terms of the Mishnah, I think it's actually very, very compelling and fits into his whole scheme. Okay. We'll do another one. I think I have a couple of more. Yoshua ben Parachia is the next one that we have on our list. And Itai Arbeli. Now, okay, so here's where, again, it gets interesting in terms of what the Rebbe Nachman does. So Yoshua ben Parachia says, Aseh lecha Rav, וקנה לך חבר, והבידן את כל האדם בכף זכות. So עשה לך רב, וקנה לך חבר, they seem to go together, right? Because they sound similar. הבידן את כל האדם בכף זכות, a little bit less so. And obviously, the Rabbi Nachman's challenge is going to be to figure out how are we going to relate this to what came before. Anybody want to try to do it before we jump into the Rabbi Nachman?
Have I done et kol adam lechavzut? Is like matunim badin, right? You have to be considerate in din, maybe.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Exactly what I was
going to
say.
Makes sense.
I said lecharav Torah.
Yeah. So now you're crossing wires.
No. I'm going back. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Kinei lecha chaver sounds like matanat levionim adiim.
Gemilut chasadim. Okay. Yeah. You could come up with a scheme like that over here. Okay. So let's see what he says. He says v'day atashinida bezuga zeshol yushab and brachav nitar beli kayu meyador ashlishi. They're the third generation. V'hem ba'om mamaram lagbil ulevayer. To limit and explain the Divrei Yosef ben Yoaz of Yosef ben Yochanan Rabotav. So they're trying to explain again the generation before. And also to tweak it, right? To qualify it. To tell people reading the Mishnah, you know, you read that Mishnah, you could get the wrong impression. Let me correct it. The Vijam are Yosef ben Yoaz of Binyan Limura Tarashi Ya Beto Beit Bad Chachamim. So Yosef ben Yoaz said, open your house to all kinds of Chachamim. Meaning, have all kinds of rabbis coming into your house teaching Torah. Sound good? Yeah, it sounds good. But there's a danger. What's the danger? Amar al zeh Yoshua ben Parachia tamido she'ein tov ba'adam she'yelamed v'chachamim harbe b'yachad ki ulai yusvarotem b'hitchalfut v'shonot zo mizo v'atamid yizbabel b'zeh. There's a practical danger. If you learn from too many different rabbis, what's going to happen? You're going to get confused because this one says this and that one says that and they don't agree with each other. And maybe one has a little bit more expertise in this and one has a little bit less expertise. It'll get confusing. So you shouldn't do that. And he even quotes the Rabbi was very well read. Zachar Seneca philosoph. So Seneca, he quotes, Shashomem mi pim la'amdim rabim hu kmo ha'itztumcha sheitmaleh mi mizonot mitchalfim shonim. It's like eating from different kinds of food. Shelo tuchal lachem. You can't digest all of
them.
Lachem. So what did Yoshua ben Parachia, what was his advice? Aseh lecha rav. One rav. Ein ro'i she'ishtem ayim mitchalfim mechachamim rabim l'lmodo, aval ro'i she'yaseh lo rav. Ratzon lomar she'yivcha lo chacham echad she'rabo v'yilamen mipiv. Okay, very good. He's clearly explaining the Amud of Torah and adjusting what his rabbi said before him. What about the Knei Lecha Chaver? Now, again, 99 people on the street, you ask them, what is Knei Lecha Chaver? They tell you a beautiful homily about friendship, right? And how you acquire friendship and how you keep friendship and loyalty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The rabbi now says, what are you talking about? He's teaching you about Torah. Knei Lecha Chaver, Kedei Shehu V'Chaveru Yishananu Zeh Zeh V'Yitayasher Limudo. You should discuss what you learned with your chavrusa. And he even goes on afterwards. He says, there are things that you'll be embarrassed to ask your Rebbe. So you talk about it with your friends, and that's how you figure things out. Do whatever it takes to get somebody to learn with you. Now, what about the Havidan Kol Adam Kaschut? So this is the cherry on top. This is the cherry on top. What's the danger? If you only have one rabbi and you only have one friend and you do all of your learning with them, what ends up happening? You go to shul and what happens? You see that other people are doing different things. Or maybe you hear the rabbi give a drasha, which doesn't sound like the way that you learned the sugya, right? So what's your reaction? Rejection, condemnation, say, get out of here. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know how to learn. They don't know what they're talking about. Comes along Yosha ben Prachi and says, "Have you done it? Call Adam Kaschut. You really should know inyan b'zeh. But Amahu shekasher yivchar b'rav echad b'chaver echad disav litanimo shelo yasim pegam b'shar habanim v'lo b'shar chaverim ki et kulam yadin l'kaschut v'yu be'enav k'zakayin u'k'tzadikim." It's a way that, you know, the boys in one yeshiva shouldn't look down on the boys in the other yeshiva, and you shouldn't act like that. Even though I'm telling you to learn from one person, realize that there are other ways of looking at it. Okay, I see it's late. So let's do one more and then we'll be done. Nitai Arbeli is the other side of this third generation Zug. He is also Magbil and Be'er Ma'amar Yossi ben Yochanan. So he says, Harchek mishachen ra, ve'altit chabel rasha, ve'altit yaesh min afronet. Now, by now you're all well-trained. So let's see how well-trained you are. What's Nitai Arbeli doing when he says this Mishnah?
Explaining Siyag. Siyag
of the Torah. He's explaining the previous generation. Whose generation? Yosheb ben Prachi was explaining or limiting Yossi ben Yoezer's Yehibet Chabet Bad Chachamim, which means Nitai Arbeli is explaining and limiting. Now, how is he doing that? When he says, "Harchek mishachen ra, ve'al titchaber l'rasha," what do you think? So the Rabbanan says, he said that Yossi ben Yochanan said, "Yehi beitcha betuach l'rvacha." So Nitai Arbeli says, "She'ein ra'i she'yuvan ha'ma'amar as a klali liyot beto patuach l'rvacha l'chol adam v'yatzadik k'rasha." So what does that mean? You're going to let anybody into your house? That all of that influence get into your house without any filter, without any adjustment at all? Hatzdaka v'achsaniyah l'chasidim atovim v'yisharim belibutam hu davar tov ra'oi. Aval v'rasha'im ein oken. Ke'ein ra'i l'adam she'viyem al beto v'af b'shkunatam. Okay, so he doesn't think it's right to bring Rishayim into the house. So he says the Puranut could mean an Onesh, or it could mean the Rasha. Now, what does that mean? So he says, number one, Lo yiftach adam ba'atzmo lomar et chaber l'rasha ve'al shachen ra. He says, you'll tell me, no, but it's okay. I can tell the difference between a good person and a bad person, and I won't be influenced by the bad person. Don't have to worry about that. That's not a problem. But tuach ani batzmi shlo alman bimasav harayim v'yitabek elai peranut tov roshato. So he says, al titayesh min peranut shlo. Don't underestimate it. Yidbak b'cha b'lo safek b'yotcha mitchaberim. For abaza v'torah b'inyan haknanim amru al yeshvu b'aretzacha pen yachti otchali. Don't think that you'll be able to just bring them into your home and they won't affect you. They will. And number one, and number two, he says, if it's talking about the onesh, he says, "Av b'shayit acher ha onesh la rishayim lo tachshav b'nezesh rishatam ina mazeket v'choliam ina mitabek You might look around and you'll say, well, I can't really tell the difference between a Rasha and a Tzaddik, because I look around and I see that these seemingly Rasha'im, they're living wonderful lives, as we talked about before. They're living wonderful lives and everything is okay. So maybe they're not so bad. Maybe Hashem loves them because of the life that they're living. No, no, they'll get what's coming to them. Okay? All right. Stop there because it's late. But I hope I piqued your interest. The Rebbeinu does this throughout the whole parak. Every single Mishnah is tweaking or explaining a previous Mishnah, adjusting it based on either technical factors or time factors, changes in society. I think it's fascinating, a very interesting way of reading Pirkei Avot.
This was an eye-opening lecture.
Absolutely.
And if you have a lot more about this, we could even continue this the next time.
We could. It's definitely Pirkei Avot season.